Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray.
Hi folks, Bob Main here, and you're listening to another Handgun World show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for listening to the most practical handgun show on the internet. This is a practical show, as I mentioned. We're not going to get into a whole lot of technicalities on this show. One of the reasons is because I'm not a gunsmith, and I'm not law enforcement, and I'm not ex-military. I'm just a private citizen who believes very strongly in my Second Amendment rights. I shoot guns. I shoot them in competition. I use them for self-defense, and every once in a while, I take it apart and clean it like I'm supposed to do and stuff like that, but I'm not going to talk to you about how to trick these things out, how to tighten up this and tighten up that, replace this and replace that to make it do all sorts of things. We just get into how to use them basically for self-defense. And as I mentioned, as most of you have learned from listening to some of my other shows, I shoot IDPA once in a while, take at least one training class every year. In fact, I got one coming up in March. Can't wait to do a review on that one. March or April, I can't remember when it is that I signed up for it. Anyway, got a point shooting class coming up that I'm going to take. With that said, let's get into episode number 29 of the Handgun World Show. And what am I going to discuss today? The primary subject matter, survival handguns. And as most of you know, I'm a survival-minded kind of person. I don't believe in a lot of paranoia and not a lot of tinfoil hat type of thinking. But I do think about things like, what happens if I have to use this gun not only to defend myself, but what if I have to put food on the table with it? Yeah, a handgun is what I'm talking about. What if that's all I've got available to me? What if I have to go portable? What if I have to get on foot somewhere and all I can take with me is a handgun? What if all I can carry is a small pack with me and I can't put a rifle or a shotgun in there? What happens if I become separated from my rifle or shotgun somehow? These types of things have to be thought about. What if even there is a rifle or a shotgun, but it's too far away, I can't get to it, somebody's attacking me, or even maybe there's I'm being attacked by a group of people, or maybe even being attacked by an animal or something like that, and I simply cannot get to my shotgun or my rifle. These are things to think about, and that's what I'm going to talk about today as we move into survival handguns. I might do another show on survival long guns, because at the other show, at the other podcast that I do a podcast on modern survival techniques and common sense preparations. We have started a discussion recently over there on things like pistol caliber carbines and whether you should have a 22 or whether you should have a shotgun and stuff like that. So that kind of prompted me to do this show, and since this is the Handgun World show, I'm going to talk about survival handguns. I'm going to give you some recommendations. I'm going to give you some facts and things that I've learned through research, and then let you make the decision. Couple of announcements real quick. I want to knock out about 60 seconds worth of stuff here. I don't get real commercial, but I have to say a couple things. Our website is handgunworld.com. Maybe you know that. If you're tuning in for the first time, might be something that you might want to bookmark on your browser. Also, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Handgun World Show. Handgun World Show on iTunes. Been getting some ratings on iTunes lately. Thank you, all of you who have put some comments. Go to iTunes and rate this show. Let me know what you think of it. And again, I don't mind positive, negative criticism or somewhere in between. Excuse me. It helps me make this show better for you, the listener. That's mainly what I'm talking about. And of course, feel free to put any comments on the blog at handgunworld.com. Every time I post a show, I put show notes below it, and then there's a space there for comments. People learn a lot, especially people that are just cruising through our site. They may see some comments on there, and that might prompt them to have a listen. With that said, I'm done with the announcements. I like to keep that short and sweet. Real quickly, before we get into the subject matter, let me ask you a question. This doesn't have anything to do with guns at all, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. How come you never see a news headline that says, psychic wins the lottery? Just thought I'd give you something there to think about. Okay, let's get into survival handguns. And what is a survival scenario? I guess you could say self-defense is a survival scenario. You could also say hunting is a survival scenario. And, you know, a lot of people use handguns for hunting. I'm not big on it. I've actually never tried it, but I have talked to a lot of people. Matter of fact, I shoot with a fellow shooter in my IDPA league that likes to hunt with handguns. And last Saturday, after a match, I had a chance to chat with him for about 30 minutes. And I took some notes while we were talking. So I'm going to put that in this show right here. I'm going to quote some of him. I'm going to keep his name private right now because I'm not so sure if he wants me sharing it all over the place. Anyway, those are the different types of scenarios that you could find yourself in. You remember the show I did on reliability versus accuracy? This is where I think reliability is paramount. But I'm going to make a case for accuracy as well when we talk about hunting with handguns. All right, let's talk about a survival self-defense scenario. I'm not going to talk about zombies. I'm not going to talk about shooting zombies and things like that and hordes of goblins coming after you. You know, all that sensationalism and all that crap, you can go to the internet and you can Google that stuff and you could find hours and hours and hours worth of reading. And as I've mentioned before, I think that's just kind of a lot of nutso type thinking. So I'm not going to get in that. But I am going to talk about what might happen if there is an emergency and what you might have to defend yourself against. You know, as you've seen with different emergencies. You've seen it, you saw it with Hurricane Katrina. Even some of the reports coming out of Haiti, you're seeing this as well. You're seeing looting and you're seeing violence after a disaster because people do get desperate. And that's unfortunate. It's very sad to see. I don't enjoy seeing those sights, folks. I don't enjoy that at all. Really hates, I hate seeing that. It just hurts me. Hurts my heart when I see people suffering like that. And the fact is that when people start to suffer, those that haven't prepared themselves tend to, unfortunately, they don't know anything else, and they're not getting any help, so they resort to violence because they try to take what other people have. And if you're in that situation, you know, God forbid, but you're going to have to make a decision. Do I defend myself or not? So let's talk about that type of a survival situation. Again, I'll go back to reliability. That's where I think that the reliability is really going to be very, very important. That's why what you want to have with you is the most reliable handgun that you own. The one that's giving you the least amount of malfunctions, because you could be facing multiple attackers. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, come on, Bob, you're starting to get a little unrealistic, aren't you? No. No, I don't think I'm getting unrealistic. You know, even just in, if you read the news, you're going to find out that there's a lot of situations where people are attacked by more than one person, excuse me, right now. Happens right now, even though there hasn't been any kind of a disaster that's taken place. This is why I'm a big fan of handguns with high capacity. So I'm going to put high capacity on the list first of survival handguns. High capacity. And when I say high capacity, I mean 10 rounds or more. Because if there's more than one attacker, you're quite likely are going to need 10 rounds or more. All right, handguns are not magical death rays. I'll refer you back to the show that I did that says all handguns suck. I did a show called All Handguns Suck. What I meant by that is compared to long guns, their stopping power sucks. So you may have to fire more than one shot at each attacker. Therefore, capacity is important. I'm not a big fan of having to reload. I'd rather carry as much capacity as I can. That's why I like my Glock 19 or any kind of a similar weapon like that that holds 15 rounds in the magazine. And any of these jerks out there, these politicians, these anti-gun politicians that want to take our rights away, all right? I call them jerks, yeah. I know that might be kind of harsh. I spent plenty of time on this podcast actually sympathizing with people that want to pass gun restrictions. This is an area where I don't sympathize when they want to restrict the magazine capacity. What would they do if they were in a situation where there's three or four people attacking them? You ever think about that? See, the unfortunate part is a lot of these politicians don't understand, because a lot of them have executive protection detail. A lot of them have people with high-capacity handguns and high-capacity rifles protecting them so they don't live in the real world like we do. But those that want to restrict magazine capacity, I'm telling you, this still might come down, folks. Even though it looks like gun laws are probably not something that our current politicians want to mess with, wouldn't surprise me if they try a few minor restrictions. And they're going to consider magazine capacity a minor restriction. Get your high-capacity magazines now while you can. You can never have enough of them. I like to say magazines are kind of like $100 bills. High-capacity mags are like $100 bills. You never have enough of them. So I'm a big fan of carrying enough rounds initially so I don't have to reload. I'll tell you, I don't carry an extra magazine with me. I know a lot of people do. I just don't do that. The way I kind of figure, and I could be wrong, again, I throw my opinions out every once in a while, folks. I could be wrong. So if you want to set me straight, I love comments. Go ahead and put it on the comment section. I think if I get to a point where I have to reload, I'm in serious trouble. I'm in real serious trouble, and I'd just rather not get there. I'd rather just, and by the way, I load my magazines to capacity, folks. I've heard of people downloading magazines. When you're storing them, yes, download them. Downloading means take one or two rounds out of there so that you don't wear the spring out as much, the magazine spring. That's one theory people have, but not when I'm carrying. When I'm carrying, I'm stuffing that gun full of everything it can hold. So in a survival self-defense situation, high capacity, reliability, and the third thing that I want to talk about is spare parts. Having plenty of spare parts on hand for any of your survival guns, very important, because it depends on how bad this thing hits the fan. It depends on how bad things get. There's a chance you might not be able to maybe get to a gun store and buy an extra part. Stock up on extra parts. I've got probably, I would say $400 or $500 worth invested in spare parts. I'm not talking about magazines. I'm talking about things like springs, and I'm talking about magazine springs. I'm talking about recoil springs, a couple of firing pins, extra sights, extra trigger return springs, extra magazine followers, extra floor plates for the magazine, you know, base plates. Well, maybe not $400. Maybe I got about a couple hundred dollars worth of extra spare parts. But this is important. In one of my other shows, I also talked about getting to know your gun very well. You know, take your gun apart every once in a while, and I mean completely apart, and put it all back together. First time I did this, folks, I had to carry all the parts into a gunsmith, say, would you help me put this thing back together? It was embarrassing, but I'll go ahead and I'll admit that. You know what? I offered to buy him lunch if he would carefully show me how to put it back together. And it paid off. Paid off big time. He did it. He took me up on it. Okay, it only took him about 20 minutes to show me how to put it all back together. Once I saw it done one time, that's all I needed. All right, then I was able. As a matter of fact, I took some really good notes. There were just about five or six things I couldn't figure out how to get back in there, and he showed me how to do it, so I took notes on how to put those back together, and that was it. This gets you to know your handgun. It gets you to know it very well, and if you're in a situation where you got to use your spare parts, there's nobody to help fix it, that's going to come in handy. That kind of knowledge will come in handy. Okay, now let me briefly talk about hunting with handguns. This is where revolvers really shine. I haven't talked much about revolvers on this show, and so I'm going to spend the rest of this podcast today talking about revolvers. You know, 357 Magnum revolvers are just fantastic survival guns, because not only are they excellent for self-defense, a little too low on the capacity in my opinion, but well-placed shots with a 357 Magnum will get their job done, will get the job done. It has for many, many years. Okay, law enforcement used to use them. It's got plenty of good stopping power for people. But let's talk about hunting with it. I know this friend of mine from IDPA, he's got two 357 Magnum revolvers. He's got one of the 4-inch barrel length that he uses for defense. He's got another one 6-inch barrel length. That's his hunting gun. And this guy hunts a lot with his .357 Magnum revolver. And what he was telling me was that oftentimes, because of the portability of a .357 Magnum revolver, okay, sometimes if he's hunting in thick brush, he doesn't have a long rifle sticking out that sometimes gets caught on the brush while he's moving to his hunting spot. Something to be said for that. It's also lighter. It's easier to carry. He has been able to get very good with it. We didn't talk too much about distance, but he practices a lot at hunting distances. And I think what he's probably talking about is 40 to 75 yards with his 6-inch barreled model. His is a ported. I think he said it was a Taurus. Yeah, it was a Taurus 357 Magnum. I think it was a Tracker. Don't hold me to that. I think it's a Taurus Tracker, chambered in 357. Again, he talks about the importance of being able to practice with the 38 Specials, load up the 357 Magnums for hunting. Let me tell you what, I want you to do this. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. I want you to look up the ballistics of 357 Magnum Buffalo Bore loads. Okay? A company called Buffalo Bore makes 180 grain 357 Magnums that are wicked. Out of a carbine rifle, they approach 30-30 ballistics. Out of a 357 Magnum with a 6-inch barrel, they may not approach the ballistics of a 30-30 rifle, but they're still going to be pretty powerful. Okay? That's hot-loaded stuff. And the velocity is good, and the penetration is going to be good for hunting. If you're accurate, if you've got good hunting sights on your hunting handgun, you're going to be in good shape. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about, I don't know if I would recommend, but I'm going to talk about it because it's the truth. Ted Nugent hunts. I think he's been on the Outdoor Channel on TV, and he's been known to hunt with a Glock 10 millimeter handgun. A Glock 10 millimeter handgun. It's not his primary hunting weapon, I doubt that, but he's been known to do it. And I've talked to other people that actually use that as a backup hunting weapon. One of the reasons why a Glock 10 millimeter, or really any gun, doesn't have to be a Glock, any gun chambered in 10 millimeter. 10 millimeter is like a 40 caliber on steroids. Actually, what they did when they designed the 40 caliber, they actually reduced the power and the size of the cartridge of a 10 millimeter, but it's pretty much the same diameter bullet. It's just got a whole lot more power. And Glock makes a 6-inch hunting barrel for the Glock Model 20, which is their 10 millimeter handgun. They make a 6-inch hunting barrel that just drops in. You don't have to fit it or anything. You just remove the existing barrel that's on the pistol. You drop in the 6-inch hunting barrel. Gives you better velocity. It's a longer barrel length. It's probably not going to give you a whole lot more accuracy because you haven't changed the slide. You still have the same sight radius. But you got the velocity that you need to be able to drop an animal. And I'm telling you what, a good solid square hit with a 10 millimeter bullet, it'll get the job done. And of course, let's not forget about 44 Magnums. 44 Magnum revolvers especially. You know, those are excellent hunting pieces. Most hunters, you have to be able to handle it. That's a tough gun to handle. All right, you got to be a pretty accomplished shooter. But again, one of the benefits of owning a 44 Magnum is you can practice with 44 Specials, which are lighter recoiling loads. And then, of course, you can find the hottest, biggest, baddest, meanest 44 Magnum rounds that you can find, and you can put those in that revolver for hunting. And again, I think most game in North America, you know, with the exception of the really big game, you know, I'm not talking about elk and bear, all right, but most deer are probably going to drop with a good square hit from a 44 Magnum revolver. And since we're talking about 357 Magnum revolvers and 44 Magnum revolvers, might not be a bad idea if you can afford it to get a rifle chambered in the same caliber as your revolvers, often called pistol caliber carbines. So get a 44 Magnum rifle. Marlin makes an excellent 44 Magnum lever action. So they also make an excellent 357 Magnum lever action. That way you've got the same ammunition for both your handgun and your lever-action rifle. In a hunting and survival situation, that's a huge asset. All you have to do is worry about carrying one caliber of ammo. That is a big plus. I would have to admit that that's a huge, huge advantage in a hunting survival situation. Now, I want to say that hunting with a revolver is pretty difficult. With any kind of a handgun, you better practice. There are a lot of hunting clubs, handgun hunting clubs, that you can join. And I would strongly recommend that you join those and get around other people who like to do that. It is a sport, actually. It's a very refined sport. I will say that you better know what you're doing, because it is kind of inhumane to the animal if you shoot them with a handgun and don't kill them. If you just wound them and now you got a wounded animal running around, especially big game. Now, small game hunting, I would suggest a 22 caliber handgun. For squirrel hunting and rabbit hunting, smaller game like that. Now, obviously, you're probably going to have to wait till the rabbit sits still. You're going to have to wait till the squirrel is still before you can pop him. Good luck trying to shoot a rabbit with a 22 that's on the move. But he does have to stop sometime. So be ready to take that shot. Same thing with a squirrel. You know, good luck trying to hit a moving squirrel with a 22. But 22 calibers are better for hunting because they ruin less meat. You can typically be a lot more accurate with them. The low recoil, it means you can get off a lot of shots. And I tell you, Ruger makes some really nice 22 pistols. I think they even make one in a 6-inch, with a 6-inch barrel. It's specifically a hunting gun with excellent sights on it for hunting. There's something to be said for a nice 22. They're not that heavy. They have phenomenal single-action triggers. They're very nice. Something to be said for those Ruger 22s. Excellent. And, you know, if you have one of those and you've got a 357 or a 44 Magnum hunt a revolver and you're going out hunting and you know what you're doing, you're going to be all right. Especially if it's a survival situation where you have to shoot just about anything because you have to put meat on the table. You're going to be okay with those two. 22 handgun, 22 semi-automatic, and a 357 or 44 Magnum big bore revolver. Okay, and something else that my friend from my IDPA club that does a lot of handgun hunting said, he said one of the fun aspects of handgun hunting is that you got to get pretty close to the animal. It's close range hunting. You know, it's tough. I mean, it's next to impossible to take a 150-yard shot with any kind of a handgun and be effective at dropping especially a large game animal. I mean, that's just not practical. So it forces you to have to get 25, 30 yards from the game. He considers it more of a sport than those that are taking, 150 to 200-yard shots at a deer with their 7mm Magnum. All right, not putting you guys down that do that kind of hunting, but the handgun hunting is truly a very unique sport. And, for the game itself, it makes it a little harder to kill them. So, the hunter forces the hunter to get closer to the game. Some people think that's a whole lot more fun. Just something to consider if you want to do some handgun hunting. Now, there are some states where handgun hunting is not allowed. So I'm going to refer you to your state laws. Know your laws before you go out and do this. I don't want to be responsible for someone going out there and breaking the law. And one more thing I want to mention about handgun hunting, too, is that, especially with revolvers, this is where they really shine for hunting and survival purposes. With a revolver, it's easy to interchange different types of ammunition. All you got to do is flip open that cylinder and throw some different types of ammo in there. So if you want to keep a couple of rounds of snake shot, for example, in your revolver, along with some defensive ammo and along with some of those high-powered 180 grain buffalo bore rounds for a 357. If you want to switch those out, it's easier to flip open that cylinder. It's pretty tough to do with any kind of a semi-automatic pistol that's magazine fed. It's just not as easy to switch out ammo unless you have your ammo separated in different magazines, but then you're adding weight to what you're carrying as well. So that's another area where revolvers really shine. Okay, and one of the last things I want to mention here before I wrap up the show about hunting with a handgun is go ahead and do trigger jobs on them. You know, I've not been a big fan of trigger jobs for defensive guns, because unless it's really done by somebody who knows what they're doing and is really a pro, you can mess up the gun and cause it to be unreliable. But for hunting, a trigger job might be preferable. I mean, the animals aren't shooting back. You're not talking about a defensive situation. You know, hopefully get it done by somebody who really knows what they're doing so that they're not compromising the reliability. But a good trigger job, a nice smooth action with a clean break, is really going to help your hunting skills with any kind of a handgun. It's going to help you place those shots exactly where they need to be, exactly in the kill zone for the animal that you're trying to shoot. So go ahead, especially revolvers. You can get real nice, smooth trigger jobs done on revolvers so that they're smooth as glass and they break well. So that's where I will advocate, but I would say go out and do that 1,000-round trigger job first. After you've done this 1,000-round trigger job, then take it to a good pro, a good gunsmith, somebody that's not like me, somebody that is more technical, that knows how to smooth out that trigger and make it nice. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say about survival handguns. Hopefully you've picked up a couple things from this show. I may do more on this. I may do more on survival long guns coming up. Shotguns and rifles in particular, and .22 caliber rifles. But for now, thank you for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in.
Now
catch
it's
you next
10
time.
Years later, but it still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley.